of the reading of the inerrant Word of God tonight. The Word of God reads this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50. We're working our way through these verses. We've got this Bible study tonight and one more. But let's read it. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter what? Beginning in what verse? And going through where? 58. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather about in safety here. Lord, as we gather in safety, we pray for Baton Rouge tonight. We pray for protection of their law enforcement. Lord, we pray for the crazies and those that are mentally unstable, Lord, those that are radicalized, those that are right now possessed and oppressed by the demonic. Lord, we pray that you would take the venom, the sting, the hate out of them. Lord, we pray that there not be any kind of copycat crime perpetrated. Lord, we pray as they gather for the Republican National Convention, we pray for safety for those law enforcement folks and for those attending. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we pray for safety, protection, hedge of protection. Lord, watch over us tonight. Lord, may we, in the midst of the culture that we're living in the midst of the craziness that is just going on during this time, Lord, may we be able to celebrate that you save all of us, our soul, you give us a spirit that's alive, and you promise to change these bodies. We don't go in some kind of collective. We're an individual with you for all eternity. Together we make up the church, we make up the bride, but you've created us each unique, and we all matter to you. We praise you for that, and we love you for that. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. May He add His tremendous blessing to it. The Hope of the Christian, part 2, and then we'll have part 3 next Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians 15 is what? It is the hope. I mean, it is the hope of the Christian. It is the great message of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. To the skeptics of every age, what has Paul done? To the skeptics of every age, as to the skeptics in Corinth, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, as the Holy Spirit of God moved this great apostle to rebuke these folks for denying the resurrection. And then under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pin it down for all eternity, God's Word. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, see that passage. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Oh, it's going to be a glorified body. Do they come with? Amen? Going to be a nice body. And then in verses 20 through 22, 1 Corinthians 15, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen? All shall be made alive. That is right. In the longest chapter of the letter, 1 Corinthians 15, be the longest one in there, the apostle has given the evidence for Christ's resurrection. That's verses 1 through 11. He's given the implications of denying the bodily resurrection. That's verses 12 through 19. The plan of the resurrection, that's verses 20 through 28. And the incentives to being resurrected, verses 29 through 34. And a description and an explanation of our resurrection bodies, that's verses 35 through 49. And now, in concluding all of that, this passage, Paul proclaims the marvelous victory that the resurrection will bring for those who are Christ. He said all these great things about it, and then he says, well, let's just celebrate it some more, amen? And that's what he does here in verses 50 through 58. We've looked at the great transformation, verses 50 through 53. Tonight we're looking at the great triumph, and we will get into the great thanksgiving. We will not finish it, praise the Lord, because we can thank Him all the time, but we will start the great thanksgiving this evening. First of all, the great triumph, verses 54 through 56. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Christ's resurrection, that glorious morn, when He stepped out of that tomb, when He had that glorified body, man, what an amazing morning, what an amazing day, right? Christ's resurrection broke the power of death. It broke the power of sin. It broke the power of hell for those who believe in Him. Trust Him as Savior and Lord. See, death is no longer our master. We talked about masters today. The demoniac had a master. It was a legion of demons. And then he traded that in. He made a choice. He turned from that to Jesus, and that became his new master. No longer was death and destruction and the demonic his master. When we get saved, death is no longer our master. But I will say this about it. Death is still the enemy of man. That's why I have self-defense weapons, because death is the enemy of man. I don't want somebody crazed, somebody that ain't right, somebody that's lost, somebody that wants to take something of mine, somebody that wants to hurt one of my kids or my wife. I don't want them taking me out. Right? Why? Well, because death is still the enemy of man. If I'm not here, I'm missing out on some things. Now, I'm with my Lord and Savior, but I want to be here. Part of me wants to go, part of me wants to stay. I've got responsibilities here, I've got great rest and peace there, right? I'm torn between two worlds, but I've got responsibility here, so I'm going to stay. Amen? And I'm going to fight until I can't fight no longer, to stay in this mess of hell-bound world, to try to get the gospel out to as many people as we can, as I can, as you can. Amen? So that we can what? So that we can have a great marriage supper of the feast one day. Amen? With Jesus. That's right. Death is still the enemy of man. For Christians, death violates our dominion of God's creation. If you ain't here because you've passed on to the other side, you have no dominion here. You're with Jesus. You're in the presence of Him. Death breaks love relationships. Those of you that have lost a loved one, you know what I'm talking about right now. Death breaks love relationships. It disrupts families. It causes great grief in the loss of those dear to us. It's a grief we live with. It's a grief we don't get over. It's a grief we just go on with. Now, Jesus feels it, and we have joy, and we have peace, and there's contentment found after a time, For some, the time is short. For some, the time is long. It just depends on the individual, depends on the relationship, depends on the situation. But death breaks these things up. But we no longer, for the Christian, we no longer need fear death. We don't fear it. But death still invades and torments us while we are mortal. This old body can be killed. Right? As Vince said, okay, you're just changing addresses. But the fact of the matter is, this one has a shelf life on it. The next one I get, no shelf life. Amen? No shelf life on that one. But then will come the great triumph that Isaiah. But then will come the great triumph that Isaiah predicted. Isaiah 25:8 says, He will swallow up death in victory. This is where Paul is getting all this. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Paul continues on with a metaphor here, implying that death left its sting in Christ, as a bee leaves a stinger in its victim. I've often used this passage in funerals. O death, where is thy sting? Until I've really broken this down and studied it, that never occurred to me. Where is that sting? Well, the sting was in Jesus. He bore the sting. O death, where is thy sting? Well, Lord and Savior took care of that sting, right? He took care of that sting. Oh, death, where he continues on with this metaphor. Christ bore the whole of death's sting in order that we would have to bear none of death's sting. None of it. The harm in death is caused by sin. In fact, death itself is caused by what, folks? Sin. See, only where there is sin can death deal a fatal blow. Only where there is sin. If you're saved tonight, there's something else in there besides sin. But only where there is sin can death deal a fatal blow. If you're saved, we can't say that about you. We can't say only where there is sin can death deal a fatal blow. Because if you're saved tonight, there's some grace in there, and there's some mercy mixed in, and there's the person of the Holy Spirit holding it all together, and you've been sealed for the day of redemption, and you're heaven bound. And you're not your own anymore. You're Jesus's. Amen? Where sin has been removed, death can only interrupt the earthly life and usher in the heavenly. Praise God for that. Death is not gone, but death's sting is gone based on the Word of God. Romans 5:17 says, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, talking about Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, what is Paul saying here in Romans? What is he saying here in 1 Corinthians 15? Paul is not saying that Christians no longer sin. He's not saying that. He's not talking about perfection here. Paul's not saying that Christians no longer sin, but that the sins we commit are already covered by Christ's atoning death and His shed blood on Calvary's cross, so that sin's effect is not permanently fatal upon us. Amen? It just interrupts. Just interrupts. Paul continues to explain the sequence leading to death by mentioning that the strength of sin is the what? It says the law, doesn't it? The strength of sin is the law. God's law reveals God's standards. And when God's standards are broken, those standards reveal man's sin. That's what they do. If there were no law, obviously there could be no transgression. Well, wouldn't that be great? No, that wouldn't be great. I want the law. I want the law because I want the grace. I want the law because I want the salvation. Show me where I failed so that I can get right. Amen? Get me to the point of where I know I'm a sinner so that I can get saved. Amen? Because I'm not perfect. I'm not God. I don't have it all together. I need some help with this. Romans chapter 4, verse 15 says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Romans 4:15 in the New American Standard may say it a little bit clearer for you. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. However, we know that men die because they break the law. They break it. What about those who do not know God's law? What about those who have never even heard of, much less read His Word? What about those folks in the bush? What about those folks in Africa and South America and different parts of the world where missionaries have not gotten to them? What about them, Pastor? Well, Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 sums it up. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. Do you see that? And that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. Boy, you're a piece of work. Did you know that? You have been created in the image of God. You're a piece of work. I mean, He breathed into you. He breathed into you in your mother's womb. He breathed into you. He gave you life. I mean, He made a spot. He made a spot for Himself. God made a spot for Himself when He formed you. I mean, when He brought you together, your life matters. Amen? When He brought you together, He formed a spot in you that only He can go into. Amen? You have the thumbprint of God all over you. You really do. And inside of you, there are some things called a conscience in you. And you know. You know when you're doing wrong. Oh man, before Christ you knew when you were doing wrong. Now, you might have tried to deny it, talk yourself out of it, but you knew when you were doing wrong. That's what's so devilish about this Muslims and Islam. Man, when you take somebody and get them on their knees and put them on TV and take a knife and saw their head off, you have oppressed the law of God that's supposed to be in you. That's devilish, demonic, heinous, right? When you travel from St. Louis, Missouri with an AR-type weapon and you know that your 29th birthday is the next day and you decide that you're going to shoot police officers, you have done something with the law of God in you. You've oppressed it. Smoked dope, smoked it out. Drunk it up. I don't know. Snorted it. Amphetamine. I don't know what. No telling what they're going to find in this kid when they finally crack him open and get his computers and search his home life and all that stuff. No telling. That law of God's been pushed, shrunken, taken out of there. But it's still what? It's still condemning to us. Romans 2:14 through 16 in the NIV, maybe it's a little more clear. God's Word says this, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. God's written His law on your heart. Amen? Their consciences also bearing witness and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. See, anyone who goes against his conscience goes against God's law just as surely as anyone who knowingly breaks one of the Ten Commandments. That guy, and this is, they don't all do this, but these mass shooting perpetrators, when they get them pinned down and the smoke's beginning to settle, those that have any conscience left finally realize what they've done, and a lot of them take their own lives. Can't deal with it. I have just shot X amount of people. I have just done this. I have just done that. Now, they don't all do that. But some of them have a semblance of a vestige of conscience left. It's written on our hearts. That is the reason, because it's written on our hearts. That is the reason, because we have it before us. That is the reason men are doomed to die. We are sinners in need of a Savior. God told Adam and Eve, if you eat it, you're going to die. They ate it, and we've all been dying since. Amen? The penalty of sin is what? Death. That is correct. Well, we've seen the great transformation, verses 50 through 53. We've seen the great triumph, verses 54 through 56. And we end this evening, just real quickly here, we're going to start it, the great thanksgiving, verse 57. The great thanksgiving. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't get it. I don't comprehend it. I can't understand it. If you have been saved, if you are blood-bought, if you really know what you have, how can you not be involved, wound up? How can you not be on board? How can you not be part of? How can you not be with? How can you not be on fire, man? In a church somewhere. In it, not just this church, a church, some church. How can you not be? We have the victory, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, we can come here and worship Jesus tonight for the victory. Amen? Well, man, you know, I got bills to pay and I've got things to do. And let me tell you something. My house is a mess just like your house is a mess. My house is undone just like your house is undone. There's always something to do, always a blade of grass to cut, always a weed to pull, always a piece of floor to put in, always a new wall to put up. But hey, I'm going to be here. Amen? And praise God, you're here tonight. I'm going to be here. Why? Because I want to be a part of the great thanksgiving. The great thanksgiving. Praise be to God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' perfect obedience to the law, Romans 5:19 tells us that, and how He satisfied law's demands for law's victims, because we're victims of the law, because we've broken the law. Those of us who've trusted in Him are no longer under the law, amen, but under grace, praise God, right? Having been released from the law, Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Romans chapter 7, verse 6. See, Jesus has both fulfilled the law and fulfilled righteousness because His life was sinless. The only one. I know I'm telling you what you already know, but isn't it great to go over it one more time? Amen? Because His life was sinless and therefore fulfilled the law, His death conquered sin. Paul gives thanks to the one who will give us the great transformation of our bodies. Our bodies. Oh man, I'm not going to go into nothingness one day. I'm not going to just fade out into oblivion one day, and nor are you. You're going to be with Jesus, and one day you're going to get a glorified body. You're going to be you. You're going to be you with Christ. You're going to be you. Can you stand the one sitting next to you? They're going to be there if they're saved. They're going to be them. And you're going to be you. Learn how to get along. Amen? Because if you're both saved, you're going to spend a lot of time together one day. Amen? That's right. That which we could never do for ourselves, God has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think it through. We cannot live sinlessly. No, we've all sinned. We can't fulfill the law because we sin, nor can we remove sin once we have committed sin, because we're not God. And we can't remove sin's consequences, which is death. I've never seen anyone after they died wave a magic hand and come back to life. I've never seen it. I'm not saying it can't happen. I just ain't never seen it. I've seen some cold blacks come back to life, but they weren't waving their hands. Somebody else was doing a lot of stuff, right? Yeah, we don't get to remove sin's consequences, which is death. But on our behalf, Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, fulfilling the law, removed our sin by Himself, paying the penalty for sin on Calvary's cross, taking our sin on Calvary's cross as they nailed the nails in His hands, as they beat His back, as they lashed Him, as they plucked out His beard, as they spat upon His face, as they beat Him about the head, as they kicked Him to the ground, as they cursed Him and mocked Him, He took our sin. Gladly took it. If not my will, then your will be done. He took it. He was the perfect sacrifice. He conquered death by being raised from the dead. And that's our fate. That's our destiny. That's what's coming. If we don't make the rapture, if they put us 6 feet under or put us in an urn or cast us into the sea or whatever, one day, these old bodies are going to be raised. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. That's the great Thanksgiving, beginning of it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You that we can spend a few moments together in it. Thank You for the book of Romans, Lord, and how it ties it all together. Thank You for the mind that You had given Paul and how the Holy Spirit was able to use his personality to communicate such deep, powerful theological thoughts. Lord, these are things that we all know. We've all heard so many times before. But Lord, in times like this, when police officers are being slaughtered in the streets and babies are being aborted on demand, and citizens of countries are being slaughtered by their own governments across the world, Lord, we know that there's a better way. We know that we have a bright future. And we know that we win in the end with You. Thank You for loving us enough to die on that cross. Thank You for the patience that You give us of one more day to get the message out. If You give us another week, we thank You for that patience. If You give us another month, we thank You for that patience. May we be diligent to do Your will and to do Your work. May we be vigilant, Lord, to protect our own. And may You get the glory. May You get the glory and honor for all that is done. May we do it in Your name. May we do it to Your honor. May we do it for Your glory. It's in Your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. Testimonies tonight. Yes, did I see a hand go up?